is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720 967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Very good evening. Welcome to the Legends Show. I'm Steve Hoversall. 6:30 on a Monday evening. We're here Mondays and Fridays. And of course, don't miss Saint and Snods on your weekend as well with all the big match build-up. It's Aldo and Sharpie in the studio this evening. Gents, what an eventful weekend for Everton. Liverpool get a win themselves, but the game wasn't quite as dramatic, Sharpie, as the Blues won.
Awful. Absolutely awful. How we conceded, you know, so many late goals is beyond me. You know, we talked about a couple of years ago, was it, when Liverpool at Crystal Palace, cruising 3-0, and it's about managing the game. You know, Everton 2-0 up, cruising, 10 minutes to go. Just had the feeling that if they got one back, we would crumble. Then get it back to 2-2, poor. Then to score again, 3-2. And I know some people have been blaming the fans because they came on the pitch and added a little bit more. But if you can't see out a game at 2-0 and then 3-2 in the last minute, you know, it's poor. It's poor, so give Bournemouth credit, but I think you've got to look at Everton and say that's 2 points thrown down the drain. Because that's, if you want to go and achieve the best you possibly can, you can't afford to surrender 2-goal lead with 10 minutes to go and walk out there with a point. You know, even to get back at 3-2, you think, okay, they've rescued it. But again, to concede, and the first goal they concede is a worldie, no problem with that. But nah, that to me, that's a mentality and a mentality thing. And I remember speaking after Liverpool collapse at Crystal Palace, and they can blame the manager and they can blame this and that, but as a team, you've got to have a mentality to say, hey, hold on a minute, they ain't coming here. If it means you coming back and dropping into a hole, never mind going forward. We were just exposed. The third goal for Bournemouth, our right players were nowhere to be seen. They've come down the left-hand side, crossed the ball, and the boys scored. So for me, it was a poor result. In a game that we were bossing and should have won comfortably.
Yeah, I think a neutral would look at it and go, wow, that's one of the games of the season. But I think anyone connected to Everton, given how Everton have been progressing this season, would say, what on earth's going on there? I see Alan Smith today in the Telegraph writes his player of the weekend was Junior Stanislad, who had to fight hard for Bournemouth. The goals were decent goals, weren't they?
They were decent goals if you're a Bournemouth fan. You know, and it's a great comeback from then, and, you know, hats off to them. But as I said before, if Everton are wanting to do things and challenge at the top and a European spot and everything else, these are games that should have been put to bed. And we talk about it. There's got to be a mentality. I don't care. If you're a successful team, you've got successful players, but they've also got the mental attitude where a win's a win. Let's see out a win when we're up against it or whatever. You've got to have that mentality to see out games.
Streetwise, you've got to be streetwise, haven't you, when you get to said, and sometimes you do let your guard down and, you know, you give the teams the initiative to come out of the crowd, changes, everyone's, and then they start throwing balls in and all. I don't know how to deal with it, being a bit streetwise, you know, and sometimes that's where you need a leader, you know, in the pack to maybe say, hey, look, just get the ball in the corner there. You know, Lukaku, get on there and just hold the ball up in there. Just let's see this out for the next two, three, 4 minutes, you know.
Well, although the fact that the last goal they conceded, you know, they kick off, they're 3-2 down. They kick off, right away, I'd either say, right, let's get after them and close them down further up the pitch, win the ball, or go and, I shouldn't really say it, go and kick somebody, they commit a foul, and then let the clock tick down. But we didn't, and they just came straight back, it was right down the left. Never covered, crossing, the boys scored a goal, 3-3. So great for Bournemouth. I ain't interested in Bournemouth. For us, that was 2 points thrown away.
Yeah, not complacency, is it? You don't think that because they're young?
No, I don't think I don't think it's complacency. I just think it's a lack of knowledge, a lack of closing the game out. You know, if somebody said to me today, if there was a Roy Keane in there, do you think they would have conceded in the last goal? I don't think they would have. You know, if there was a Peter Reid in there or somebody who'd have grabbed them and said, come on, we need to come in here. But they just don't seem to be, as I've said time and time again, it's not the most vociferous team in the land. We look at the back four, don't really talk an awful lot. They're all young lads. You know, Gareth Barry, James McCarthy, quiet lads. Deulofeu, Lennon. There's no what you'd call really outgoing characters in there to drag them. And so I just thought that at 3-2, come on, you must see this out. But it wasn't to be.
I noticed how Aldo's just sat back. He's like, you do the first 3 minutes because you've got a lot on your mind. Yeah. Whereas Aldo's had a 1-0 win and he's quite happy.
You're a good counsellor there, Steve. You're counsellor, Sharpie, because That's what we need when things happen like that, because it's not nice, is it?
Aldo was on the good ship Rocking Gantry at Anfield yesterday, weren't you? During
it was
the wind.
Windy up there, yeah, right in the gods and the top of the centenary, yeah. It was, but the game didn't warm me up, unfortunately. It was it's a pretty dull affair, to say the least. But it was all about getting across the line and, you know, winning the game. And to be fair, it looked like how was it going to be won? A mistake, you know, a piece of genius, you know, bit of luck. You look at the penalty, it's a penalty. The lad's gone up with his arms in the air, you know. Okay.
What, with his back to the ball?
Was the intent. Yeah. Doesn't matter, he's got his arms there. If you look, if it's against Liverpool, I'd go, he's given them an opportunity to have a penalty there by putting his arms up. If he keeps his arms down a little bit, he might have got away with it. But his arms have gone up as he turned his back.
What do you think, Sharpie?
I can see why it was given as a penalty. And he didn't argue. The lad didn't argue.
I thought it was
generous.
Yeah,
but I can see why.
But again, if you're looking at it and dissecting it, you're thinking, what have you turned your back for? What have you turned your back for? You know, what's the worst that couldn't hit you? It's going to hit you right in the kipper, isn't it? You know, that's it. So why are you turning your back and putting your hands up? And when you do that, you leave yourselves open to the referee's decision. If the referee sees that and allows me to see that, you know, you're leaving yourself right open. So, yeah, you know, it's a penalty.
But the referee didn't see it. To be fair, the referee seen nothing for 90 minutes because he was garbage, Jim. Absolute. He gave them everything. He should have had two books. The lad who had the booking in the second half when he skied down Milner, he should have been booked for a really bad foul in the first half, and he didn't book him. James Milner got the ball. Great tackle. He booked James Milner. The lad then got Milner, he got booked. That should have been his sending off. And then Jordan Ibe turned one of their plays and he's done a rugby tackle on him. He's given a free kick and not booked him. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. And honestly, I just watched the referee all through the game. Gave Swansea all the little 50-50s, couple of corners there. And he tried his best to give them a goal. And to be fair, the last 10 minutes, we tried our best to give him a goal because the defending got really touchy, really nervy. And I thought, you know, a better team could have capitalised on it. But they defended very well, Swansea. You've got to give them full credit for that. We looked blunt. We had only a couple of little opportunities. Neither goalkeeper never really had a save to make throughout the game other than the penalty. But thankfully, it's one of those scrappy, horrible, nitty-gritty wins. You get under your belt and you move on.
And you're 6 points from the top. Let's get to the lines. This is the Radio City Legends, 01514720967. First up is a red. It's Neil, who's in the city. Hi, Neil.
Hi, lads. You okay? Right.
Neil, hi, pal.
You all right, yeah. So, enjoyed the game yesterday, really. It was a huff and puff victory, but it's one that we wouldn't have won 6 or 7 weeks ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought, and in regards to the penalty that you were talking about, I think any defender, once you turn the back on the ball, they deserve everything they get. There was a Newcastle defender on Saturday, can't remember his name, he's the fullback, and he highlighted them, and three times he turned his back for three goals to go in. So I have no sympathy for the Swansea defender for turning his back. He deserves what he gets.
You know, it's turning your back on. As a football, when we used to get with the balls were about 15 times harder than these balls.
Like,
it hit.
You had the laces in that leather ball, didn't you?
That's before you came along. The laces in the balls. But yeah, you know, I can't understand. It's not going to hit them. Just front up.
They're like flyaways.
Absolutely. Just front up, and if it hits you, it's not going to hit you. Unless it gets you in the midriff, sometimes it can, you know, be soft a little bit. But you know, when he turned the back, and he's put his arms up. Yeah, to be fair to to be fair to the lads.
Oh, is that on your end, Neil?
Not mine. No.
Goodness me.
Oh, that's not, that wasn't
sorry,
good.
Hang on one sec. We'll just turn things
Yeah, to be fair to the linesman, the linesman seeing it, he was right there. The referee was never going to give anything, and the linesman made sure that he had to give it, you know, so fair play to the linesman, he didn't bottle it.
Aye, good stuff. Well, as I said, 6 or 7 weeks ago, we wouldn't have won that game, and you can just see Klopp planting little seeds of psychology around the place. I mean, you know, with the comments about if the other team scored, it's not the end of the world. I mean, that was an amazing comment, because you know yourself from being in Anfield, that's exactly how it felt when the other team did score, even if it was only 10 minutes gone. It was like, oh my God, and suddenly you can feel the fans just thinking, okay, let's go. Like the Chelsea game was staked after that comment. And we went 1-0 down after a minute. And Yeah. And you saw the response. So, and also with the comment about the fans leaving early and stuff. I mean, I think they're staying a bit later.
They are, I've watched the last two games on Thursday and yesterday, and a hell of a lot more are staying now till the end.
I know.
But it's a great little point, you know, because you know, if you're getting beat, especially, and you see people going, you know, starting to leave, you think, you do, don't you?
It sends a message out to the team, the players.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yesterday, again, talking about differences in the team, the substitutions all made sense yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, even the Torre one, the last minute, that's something Rodgers never, ever done, was make a substitution in the dying minutes to kill the game off. He didn't believe in killing the game off, and it's what winners do. You look at any successful team, and that's what they kill the game off. You know, bringing Torre on with a couple of minutes ago just to shore up. They'll waste 45 seconds to get 30 added on. Little differences like that.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's valid. It's a really good point there.
Excellent. Good point. Thanks very much, Neil.
Cheers.
Great to talk with you.
To be fair, hey, Roberto Martinez done that on Saturday in the backfire.
Well, absolutely.
I was going to say, brought Gibson on with the last minute.
How many minutes added time was it? Was it eight or
seven? Yeah, it could have been eight, Steve. I know Everton scored with five over, and I think they scored with
90,
seven or eight.
90 plus five, wasn't it?
So Martinez brought Gibson on. And
doesn't always work.
No.
Yeah. Right, I didn't set the Legends teaser before. I'll do it now. Oh. We might rename it in honour of Dave one week.
They were awful last Friday. Well,
Dave Downey, our producer, is getting pellets at the moment for these. Right, so in honour of Everton scoring their first goal from a set piece this season, and with it being a header, Dave wants to know. we're going to credit him with all these now. Dave wants to know who wins the most aerial duels per game. Liverpool or Everton?
Oh. What do you mean by aerial duels?
Dave, could we have clarification?
Well, a long ball on Friday was from 30 yards is a long play-up ball.
And
30 yards it is.
Well, who played more, Everton or Liverpool, long balls?
It was Everton.
They played more long balls. So
yards.
I would say...
I've just folded this paper so Sharpie can't cheat
I'll
this week.
I'll see Everton then.
Yeah. He's seen it, has he?
No!
I've not given away the clue. Anyway, right, let's get back to the phone line. So, sorry, yeah. Everton, you think it's... Who's won the most aerial duels?
I'd go with Everton.
Toffer?
Yeah. I'd go with Everton.
A bit more of a heart in the jumping and spirit.
No, never mind. Just go on, mate. Get the call.
Right, let's talk with Pete, who's an Evertonian. He's in Oxton. Hello, Pete.
Hi, mate.
Hi, Peter.
What do you want to talk about?
Hello, Pete.
Hi. Sharpie, really, you've more or less summed up what I was going to say just before about the match. Very frustrating that we didn't kill the game off earlier on. And I know, you know, there's a lot on the social media about them blaming the fans and the ref adding time on, which is fair enough. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got to play to the whistle.
Exactly.
To the final whistle. And, you know, Bournemouth sort of reminded me a bit of Arsenal, who they won't, you know, let you go till that final whistle goes. We got caught out with it at home against Arsenal a couple of seasons ago. We just didn't close it down. We didn't seem to have the same energy or enthusiasm in the second half, I don't think, to kill it off. And
Peter, don't you think for me, we talk about, I said to John before, you're talking about successful teams, and in successful teams you've got strong characters who, you know, we're winning 3-2, we've just scored a goal. That's it. The game's finished. You know, you go and do something to make sure they don't get over the halfway line. Go and make something happen. And listen, you've got to give them credit. But I just look at us at times and I just think, we're too soft.
Yeah.
We're too soft. We haven't got anybody who seems to, like, grab the game to the scruff. And I don't want, I don't talk about being dirty or anything else, but be a Roy Keane type. You know, lead by example, like, we're doing this. You get in here and making their own decisions. Sometimes it's easy enough to blame, you know, the manager or the coach, he's never done this or never done it. Sometimes on the pitch, the players have to make the decisions. Yeah. The players can see the game and the way they're playing it. If I'm getting overrun on the right back, I need to build Lennon back or Delafield back to help me a little bit. Yeah. I just think that we don't make, you know, decisions that are going to affect the game at times.
We don't. We seem to be missing a little bit of ceiling. I think you mentioned the likes of Reedy before. You know, someone who'll pep the team up a little bit.
I think football in general, We've lost that them type of players, haven't we? You look around all the Premiership, there's not an awful lot now that you've got who's vociferous, who goes around pointing and runs the game. You know, it's been like a dying breed, hasn't it, unfortunately?
Them sort of players probably wouldn't stay on the pitch nowadays. I used to watch us when like the Ball and Harvey and that were playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tackles would fly in and the player would either get up and carry on or he'd get stretched off.
Mm.
Some of the tackles that those sort of players put in now, they won't survive the game. And I find it very frustrating that a lot of our goals we've conceded this season have come from headers, which to me say we're not closing down the ball quick enough, and we're allowing the crosses to come in, and then we're not defending it when they do come in. These sort of games that you throw away 2 points like that, you know, hopefully we may qualify for Europe in the Capital One Cup, but if we don't, you look back at the end of the season, another couple of games like that, we could have thrown away 6 points or something like that, which could be the difference of getting into Europe or not.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that you want to see the team learn from.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at, and I'm going to put a name forward here now. If Phil Neville had been playing, and I know Phil Neville wasn't everybody's cup of tea as a player kind of thing, but what he had, we had the aggression. If a Tim Cahill was in that team,
yeah,
you know, that sort of leadership quality, aggression, and say, right, come on, this is what we are. This is a battle in here. We're not letting anything happen here now. We've snatched it 3-2. And I just think, no, people, it's easy, as you said at the beginning, that people blame the fans for coming on. No, that's rubbish. I'm not having that. That's at the end of the day, it's down to the players on the pitch.
Absolutely.
And the reaction should have been better than what it was. It happens, don't get me wrong, it happens.
It does.
But the disappointing thing was that should have been 3 points for us.
It should have been. And you mentioned Phil Neville there, and you look at Phil Neville in the 4-4 draw when we played United away, and he was the one that was getting everyone going when we were 2 goals down, and that's the sort of inspiration you need on the pitch. Someone pushing the players on. It's just so disappointing, really. But, you know, go again on Tuesday.
Yeah, we've got it. It's important Tuesday. And Peter, very quickly, would you like to see many changes on Tuesday? I know we've got a couple of injury worries with McCarthy and Bartley. I know he's said he's going to play Robles in there. This is a big game for him.
Robles, I think Robles has played really well when he's played, so I don't mind him going in. I think we need to play a strong team because this is, you know, any cup that we can win is a good cup to win. So I think we need to go out with a strong team. I wouldn't make too many changes, no.
Would you play Morales?
Instead of who?
I don't know. I think that he's sat on the bench a long time. He's very, very frustrated.
Yeah. I think De La Feo, definitely. Because I think that some of the balls he's putting through for Lukaku is a service that Lukaku needs. I mean, if you look at the goals he scored, he's not had to break stride to the passes. He's run onto them, around the keeper in the back of the net.
Yeah, Middlesbrough will be tough. Sometimes you have to go up there and you know, not be as expansive at times. And I think maybe he may play Morales and maybe leave De La Feo out and bring De La Feo on later on as the game kind of slows down a little bit. But we need to win. It's one we need to win.
Thanks very much, Pete. Great to hear your calls and your thoughts. Thank you very much indeed. It's amazing how much it evokes emotion when perhaps you lose out on points late on. And funnily enough, I was just doing a feature with John before this show, and it's called Match of My Life, and John was talking about a specific game. I did one last week with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Wrap, and he chose Liverpool 4, Arsenal 4. Do you remember that? 2009.
Oh, damn.
Arshavin. Liverpool winning the league and could have gone on to win the title.
Yeah.
And those four from Arshavin absolutely sat the life. And Bellerin had that last-minute equaliser just to salvage a point for Liverpool.
That's right,
it's incredible. Slightly different scenario, but it's funny how it stirs the emotions, isn't it?
But it is. But I always think that, you know, when everybody talks about Everton having a young team and everything else, I can fully understand that. They need to learn. But they need to learn quick. In the Premier League, you don't get a lot of time. You've got to learn quickly.
It hurts you so much because 85 minutes, it's gone. It's done. Mm-hmm. It's dusted. You know, you can see the reaction of Everton fans. It's a big win, last minute win. To lose that straight away, that's a right kick in the proverbials. It's like a defeat. Mm. It really is. After getting such a late, what looked like a winner, it's a killer blow.
Well, I don't think Bournemouth will score 3 goals against many teams this year.
They probably won't play that well against as well as that.
I don't necessarily think
teams.
They played that well, Steve, to be fair.
Do you not?
I thought they
showed really good character.
I don't think they played great. We say, wow, it's an Arsenal when they play off the pitch kind of thing. I thought they were forceful. They were chasing the game, so they had to take a few risks, which you understand. But I don't see them scoring 3 goals against many teams this season.
Did they not score 4 against West Ham?
Well, from now.
Right, just before we get to a break, a couple
do you want
of
a little
quick,
bit here?
Quick headlines. Ballon d'Or nominees today: Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, and Neymar. And World Coach of the Year for men's football was Luis Enrique, Pep Guardiola, and the Chile boss, Jorge Sampaoli.
The Women's Coach of the Year, Jill Ellis, Mark Sampson and Norio Sasaki. And of course, the other headlines from the weekend included Tyson Fury. And the one thing it really brought to my mind was when he started singing afterwards. And the first thing I thought of was sports people who sing. I thought of John Aldridge in his Irish TV contest.
Don't go there. Don't you dare.
Now, if I'd had time, I'd have asked Dave to get that off for
that's
us.
Not, that's not even that. Funny, that. What did he sing?
Are you a better singer than Tyson? He sang...
I can't sing him.
He said something.
Did he sing Aerosmith or something? I can't remember.
Something romantic to his
missus. Yeah, he was slightly out of tune.
He's one of those characters that, you know, you love to hate, but the more he's going on, he's starting to become likeable, isn't he? You'd have to say, you know, he just needs to now calm down and stop shouting his mouth off and do his talking in the ring. He's proved his worth now. I didn't expect him to win, and he has, and you know, and he. There could be some really good fights coming up around the corner with him. There's a couple of good fighters knocking about now, isn't he?
Yeah, and who fancies himself as a singer? Snods.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he on the karaoke all the time? Whenever there's a karaoke, he's always
up.
Not bad.
He fancies himself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you sing in your final on TV, John?
Lily the Pink.
It's a bit different than Aerosmith.
Did you win?
I only won because I played for Jack Charlton and we win the World Cups.
Apparently Snods does a Mustang Sally.
He does, that's it.
That is, yeah. Right. 6:51, hope you're enjoying the show if you're driving home. We're going to take a short break here. If you want to get involved in the Legends teaser, Everton scored their first goal from a set piece this season. It was a header. So who wins the most aerial duels per game, Everton or Liverpool? Get back with your calls in just a moment. The number 0151 472 0967.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the show. 4 minutes until 7 o'clock. Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. I'm Steve Hothersall. Now, we're out by just a day, but we thought it was worth delving into the archives for a couple of special moments from this man. 17 years and one day since a certain Mr. Gerrard made his debut for Liverpool.
Good ball into the penalty. Mello's headed down. Steven Gerrard!
Yes!
Outstanding! Yes! Outstanding! Steven Gerrard! Captain Wales! It's one of those special, special Anfield nights. Remember St Etienne. Remember Roma. You won't forget Olympiacos.
Lisa on the left side. Lisa hits it against Cafu and it comes back to it. Lisa puts it back into the box. Penner on goal.
No!
Oh, he's got it. And the captain has delivered a blow to AC Milan. They may be three goals down, Liverpool, but Steven Gerrard has urged the thousands of Reds fans inside here to get to their feet. A headed goal from the captain and a glimmer of hope in the Champions League final.
Gerrard playing through the pain barrier, brings the ball down, finds Reece on the left, knocks it into the West Ham box. A header away is nearly met by Sissoko. Instead, Gerrard! It's a goal from the heavens! What a strike by Steven Gerrard! Well, there's no words to describe this man. You could spend 100 lifetimes waiting for an FA Cup final goal like that.
Okay, there you go. 17 years and one day. And it ties in nicely with a little piece I've seen from The Echo here, because Aldo's been speaking to them today. He says he'll realise a dream when he lines up alongside Steven Gerrard in the Liverpool Legends Showdown with Australian legends. So that's going to be on January the 7th in Sydney's ANZ Stadium. Who told you you were lining up alongside him, John?
Have you picked yourself? Not just take me there for the scenery. No, to be honest, I'm the oldest out of all the lads. But I hope I get a cameo, 10 to 15 minutes, because they're a lot younger than me and they're a lot more agile than I am. But I'd love just 10 minutes to see...
You need to get in the corners and in the channels and down the sides. Yeah. Don't be just standing there watching the rest.
Yeah, what role are you expecting?
We're winning with 2 minutes to go, Sharpie. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It does beg the question, Sharpie. Who would you have always loved to play up front with?
Oh,
well, there you go. I mean, even maybe...
I know. Let me have a guess.
Go on.
Someone like Dennis Law.
I don't know what to...
No?
It's a really good... Let me think about that.
Okay, well, I want an answer in about 10 minutes' time on that one.
Scottish all-time great. It wouldn't be Kenny.
Kenny?
Would it?
Got a little flicker there off you.
I played a couple of times, I think, in Scotland with him.
A terrible moaner, wasn't he? How good can Kenny be? I tell you what, when you played alongside him, dear me, he was in your ear all the time.
You knew about it. I'll give you a little bit of time on that
Maradona.
One, but do one last. Maradona?
Yeah. I'd love to play by him. I thought he was absolutely magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
The best player by miles. By him. Top of Messi now and everything else. Maradona was.
Better player than Messi?
Yeah.
That's quite a statement, isn't it? Mm. It's quite a statement. I mean, it's quite hard to judge them from the different sort of generations and eras, isn't it? Right, massive game for Everton tomorrow night. Considering the context of the season and the need for silverware, does this feel like the biggest game for a long, long time, Sharpie? Just in terms of get past this one in a semi-final?
No, I don't think so. A lot of people are building up to that. You know, I just think it's a game in the League Cup. I'll keep calling it League Cup. They're away from home against a team who are doing very well in the Championship, who will fancy their chances, especially having watched Everton the weekend. But Everton in the Cup so far this season, you know, hasn't been easy. You know, when you remember they were nearly going out against Barnsley, they came back well and they've come back in a lot of the games. So it'll be a tough game. We'll expect them to win it. Of course I will. You know, and then you go in the semi-final, two-legged semi-final, depending on who the draw is.
Yeah.
You just never know. You know, you need a little bit of luck along the way to win trophies. And Everton maybe a little bit lucky in certain games against Barnsley and whatever people will say, and then the last round against Norwich on penalties. But that's what you need. So they need to go up there tomorrow night, play well, maybe get a little bit of luck, but certainly have to defend better than what they showed at the weekend.
I think also you look at the semi-finals, obviously, hopefully we both go through, and then you look to avoid Man City. Yeah. If you can get the other one, then you've got a great chance of getting to Wembley, and then it's anything can happen.
Mm.
No, don't forget, Wigan beat Manchester City in the final not too long. Anything can happen. Mm. So it is Liverpool and Everton. I've got an excellent chance if you can get through these, you know, two difficult games.
Mm. You've Stoke, Sheffield Wednesday, which, you know, Stoke will
Sheffield
be favourites.
Sheffield Wednesday aren't bad. Yeah,
Stoke will be favourites at home, but Sheffield Wednesday will think they're so. If Stoke go through, you know, they'll fancy their chances home and away as well. So it'll be an interesting one. But first and foremost, we've got to look after ourselves and make sure it's a big game. The supporters are all up for it. It'll be about 5,000, whatever, up there tomorrow night. So it's important the lads put a show on.
Yeah, I mean, every blue I talk to is talking about this one as a massive opportunity. I mean, maybe that's just because of the...
Well, you look at the league and you look at... They're never going to win the league at this moment in time, you know, whether we like it or not, you know, the way the monetary situation is. So they're looking at cup competitions for a little bit of success and a little bit of, you know, glory and a trip to Wembley and everything else. Of course they're looking at this. They've got to this stage. You know, they're against Championship opposition. They should be favourites. But, hey, they've been here before on many occasions and let themselves down. You know, look at Leeds United a couple of years ago when they were poor. Swansea away when they were poor and lost that as well in games that you'd expect to win. But as I said to the one of the callers, I'll be interested to see what he picks, you know, and what team he picks. I wouldn't be surprised.
For both managers,
you can't afford to play what some people would look at as a weak inside and lose because of commander.
Don't you think now, you play tomorrow, then there's a 6-day break.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has to go
with
his best side that he thinks on paper, because after this they've got a nice break to have 3 days off, whatever it be, and then go again for Palace. You know,
that's a good thing with Palace on the Monday. So, you know, but he's already said that he's going to play Robles instead of Howard. Leighton Baines is back fit, so he said he might be on the bench. But having watched Young Galloway the last couple of games, he's been exposed a little bit. I think he might play Leighton Baines tomorrow, and that's not a weak inside. You know,
no,
Baines in there. A little injury worry of McCarthy and Barry. But if that's the case, he's got Besic, Gibson, Cleverley to come back in there. So that's still quite strong. But I'd just like to see Morales come back into the fray. I still think he gives us something. I think he's been a little bit unfortunate this season. It's been stop-start. But I'd like to see him play because I think he's a goal scorer and a threat and would help Lukaku up top.
Okay, and Liverpool step into the competition, of course, again on Wednesday night. Is that more of an opportunity for Daniel Sturridge to get some more minutes under his
belt? I think so.
Jordan Henderson?
I think I'd start the two of them, without a doubt. Jordan came on for 30 minutes, whatever it be, and he made the difference. A bit rusty. know, but certainly an hour tomorrow or whatever, we'd do him the world of good, put him in preparation for the league games coming up, thick and fast, Christmas and New Year, as you know. We need you need a good squad at that moment in time. And Sturridge needs to play. You can't keep him wrapped up in cotton wool all the time. He needs to play, get rid of the rustiness, get himself back on track. So for me, I would play the two of them without a shadow of a doubt. There's other players. I think Alan needs 90 minutes as well. You know, I thought he done well last game he played. I think them three probably will come in. The problem Liverpool have got is if something happens, touch wood, is to the full-backs, because we've got no cover. We've only got young Randall. No cover at full-backs whatsoever. I don't know what's happened to Enrique. He's gone off the face of the earth.
Flanagan's back training now, isn't he? Flanagan's back training.
Yeah, young Flan will take some time. He's been off for a long, long time, the lad. So he might take some time, but I don't know what's happened to Enrique. I don't know. He's just got his slippers and his pipe back home, but for the last year, 2 years, he's done nothing. And we've got kids. So it's something that the manager, I think, will have to do in January, is to go out. Gomez is out for the rest of the season, more or less. He has to go and get a fullback for me in January to cover.
Okay, let's get back to the phone line. So 0151 472 0967. Next call is it's a blue. It's our regular. It's Martin. He's in Eastham. Hi, Martin.
Hi, lads.
Hi, Martin. Okay.
Yeah, I was about to agree with what you say about we've got to see games out, but there's sometimes when Roberto talks about stuff, I think defending with him is secondary. I think he'd rather lose 4-3. Don't win 1-0. Now, I'm not by no means am I advocating going back to the David Moyes times of being scared to win.
No.
I'm on about there's a happy medium, and we need to find that where we can sit in. The substitution was pointless to me, and I think that added some time on after the goal.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done that. I'd have just said, right, I'd have left Rom up top, and I'd have just said, right, I know it's not my normal way, but if you get the ball, you know, Stonesy, or if you get it, Ramiro, 90 yards down the pitch, Rommel chases into the corner, and if necessary, he'll take the worst shot in the world and put it over the roof.
Martin, but don't you think that's something the players should know? They don't have to be told that. That's what I was trying to say. You know, sometimes, you know, it's easy enough to sit and blame the manager kind of thing, but sometimes players have got to take responsibility. You know, they're there when they take all the praise and the adulation. I just think at times, and I know you're talking about young players as well, which they have to grow and learn kind of thing, but we had enough experience in there to know, hey, listen, do that what you've just said. Get the ball and just put it in the corner and turn them. So I don't think, you know, you can necessarily blame the manager. I just think that for us as a team, you know, I just think that we, at times we're too soft and, you know, we'd leave ourselves open at times. You want a lot of leaders in your team. If you have one leader in your team, you know, it's fair enough, but if you're going to be successful, you need 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 leaders, lads who are determined not to lose. And I just don't think we've got that at this moment in time with the makeup of the side we've got.
I'd not disagree. I think this is where Tim Howard has to shoulder some of the blame, because he was the most senior man there, and he is verbal. All goalkeepers, you know that, Sharpie. I mean, you've got a constant headache for 20 years of big men behind you, and you were 100 yards away from him. You know, so basically,
yeah, but you're looking at that now. Look, just for take it for now. So we've just scored and we're 3-2 up, and they've got the kick off right away. As we're celebrating and going back, saying right, okay, let's not lose this. Right from the kick off, whether it be the captain,
get
whatever,
the
say go and get the ball, or go and close them down. Everybody's a team, we're closing them down. We're doing this, or we're going to sit off them and let them. But at the moment, they kicked off. And went right down the left-hand side, cross it, and I'm thinking, hold on a minute, surely we should have enough leaders in the team to say, right, this ain't happening. If it goes here, you go and close down, we'll all follow on, kind of thing. That's what I'm worried about, the fact that we've got a basically young back four. So for Tim Howard to tell Romelu Lukaku or Lennon, whoever was on up front at the time, the rest of the players have got to see that as well. So it's not, I think we've got James McCarthy, who's a good player but quiet. Gareth Barry's a quiet lad. And you look throughout the team, and as I said to the first caller, we haven't got a Phil Neville, we haven't got a Cahill, we haven't got a Peter Reid, you know, people who drive people on, we haven't got that. So they're not the most vocal of teams, you know, so that's where I think the struggle.
It's a young side.
So hopefully that will come, Martin, but I think that's a problem at the moment. We haven't got enough people with it. I'm not saying the boys aren't determined, of course they are, but sometimes you need more leaders on the field, and I don't think we've got that at the moment.
Ron Vlaar, he's going on a free. Is this where... I'm not saying he plays every week, Sharpie. By no means want to say that. But have him on the bench. And when something like this happens, you bring either Stonesy or... I'd leave Romero on because it's very rare you get a left-footed centre-half. So I'd try and keep the balance there. And I'd bring Ron Vlaar on because someone like him of his age with his experience would be mouthing off. He did it at Villa. He held them together. Let's be honest, if it wasn't for him last season, Villa would have gone last season. So let's make no bones about it. He didn't want to stay. But if short-term contract, even till the end of the season, at least you know if Jags goes down again, which unfortunately at his age with the injuries he's had, there's always a 70% chance that can happen, Sharpie. You know that.
Yeah.
And the recovery time is a lot longer than Stonesy or Brendan Galloway or whoever. If we can get Ron Vlaar on a free, agree a short-term deal and say, look, if you want to go in the summer, go in the summer, but it gives us time and it gives you playing time. It gives us time to have a look around and see what we want out there as well.
Yeah, it was difficult, Martin, what you said as well. The ball's going in the box, you know, the two goals that they scored... The ball goes in the box and they're there first. That's a disappointing thing as well. Maybe you're right, we need a more commanding centre-back in certain situations. But, you know, really disappointing at the weekend that, you know, you come away from there and, as I said to Steve, I can't see them scoring three goals against many teams. You know, and that's a disappointing thing for me because one week you think, oh, we've settled down and we're looking strong defensively, and then the next week we're back to giving goals away, so that's a real disappointment.
Martin, thank you very much indeed. Thanks for your call. Great to hear from you. It's the Radio City Legends, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. We'll have a look at the lads' charity bets in just a moment.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 7:15, thanks for tuning in to the show, The Legends, on a Monday and Friday, 6:30 to 7:30. Now, before we heard a bit of Stephen Gerrard commentary, one or two of you tweeting in saying it was lovely to hear that. Have a listen to this one on the blue side. Massive game for Everton tomorrow at Middlesbrough tomorrow. Last time the teams met was also in the quarterfinal back in 2009. And the Blues would, of course, go on to reach the final of the FA Cup in that year.
Tim Cahill looks to turn it forward towards Osman. He does just that. Osman's control was not great, but he got it out to Jagielka. Now Cahill again. Cahill's ball into the penalty area for Ladies. And the keeper started to come for it. It was a brilliant ball into the box. A barrow one for Ladies. He met it with his head, as he's done so often for Everton this season. And he looped it over. Stranded goalkeeper Brad Jones. And Everton are level. How important is that? Into the second half, 1-1. Osman's chipped towards the far post over Louis Sahar. Pienaar will retrieve it. Pienaar, his delivery into the box. Yes! Louis Sahar for Everton. Pienaar's quality delivery this time. And Louis Sahar rose above everybody inside the six-yard box and glanced his header into the Parkhead net. And within the space of 11 minutes at the start of the second half, Everton have turned the game around. 2-1. Are we on the way to an FA Cup semi-final?
Oh, very excited, Alan Owen and Graham Sharp there. Some memories flooding back for you, Sharpie.
I thought it was at Middlesbrough the game. I'm getting old.
Ah, the Blues would, of course, go on to reach the final. They lost out to Chelsea. Now, this is amazing. Ryan's tweeted us in minutes after Aldo mentioned him on this Legends show. Jose Enrique gets chosen, John, to play in a big game for the under-21s tonight. He's resurfaced, yeah, obviously by popular demand from yourself. He starts at centre-half alongside Dan Cleary.
Well, to be fair, we need cover. We need cover of any sort, you know, whether Enrique can get himself back. He's been out, back and out and whatever for some time now. I don't know. But certainly he's got experience and you need cover. Fullbacks have been doing all right, to be fair. Liverpool's fullback.
OK, let's get on to the Legends teaser. In honour of Everton scoring their first goal from a set piece, it was a header. Dave, our producer, wanted to know who wins the most aerial duels out of Liverpool and Everton. Mick57 replied that we hardly win any aerial duels. How many times have we conceded a six-yard headed goal? Oh, that's a bit depressing. OK, how many aerial duels per game do you think Liverpool win, John?
Percentage wise?
No, just how many?
Oh, dear me. That's sharp. You'll have to think about that. I don't know.
Well, go on. You've only got 3-4 minutes.
In a game?
Yeah.
How many
in a game do they win on average?
I would say 30.
No. Yeah, I'd probably say about 24.
For Everton?
Yeah, 25.
Right, okay. And you thought Everton won more? Yeah. And you thought Everton won more?
I thought Everton won
more.
Okay,
you're both wrong. Everton win 12.1. 0.1, apparently. Oh. Aerial duels per game. Liverpool win 17.6 aerial duels per game. These stats are becoming more and more in-depth.
I'd call it something else more than in-depth. Absolutely trivial nonsense.
Oh, Dave, our producer's arguing through the headphones about all this. We'll get on to the tweets in just a quick moment. I just want to know, you obviously saw Diego Costa throw his bib at his manager at the weekend. What's the worst thing you've ever thrown at your manager? In fact, have you ever thrown anything at your manager?
No.
Have you not? Do you think that was a massive show of disrespect?
Yeah.
It was quite clearly at him, wasn't it?
Whenever you've been brought off at times, you've gone, what's that all about? Yeah. Not more, with Jack Charlton or sometime with Arlen. She used to bring me off at all the time because he thought I'd done enough. But certainly, you had the total respect for managers. You didn't, as much as hurting, you couldn't sharpen, could you?
No, not at all. And that was disrespectful. As if to say, he's not bringing me on, I've had enough of that kind of thing. And there's no need for him to do that. And obviously things aren't right there between the two. And more like, okay, Mourinho's come on and try to big him up at the weekend. But that's disrespect. And that's not just a manager, but that's the other players as well. Does he think he's better than every other player? I think the boy Hazard went in and done a good job up front. He played up front on his own. And his touch and his build-up and the build-up play was excellent. So Costa's got no divine right to say that he's got to be in the side because his form has been poor.
Right, charity bets. No extra money's been added to the kitty for either of you. Snods hit the woodwork. Wolves, he went for a win. They drew 0-0. Palace and Carlisle, he got right. And Aldo, you went for Man City, Liverpool and Coventry. Coventry killed you off.
Coventry, I fancied them big time. Yeah.
I don't know where your money pots.
Late equaliser from Doncaster.
Goodness me, we'll have to leave the charity pots as they are. It's some of the tweeted questions. Mike from Prescott. You've talked about Morales. What's going on with Morales? Why isn't he starting games?
Don't know. I'm disappointed. He's signed a new contract and I expected him to be playing more regularly, but he's not. I can understand in recent weeks when the formation's been right and he's got the balance of the front four right, but I think he needs to be given more opportunity for me to stake a claim.
Tommy following up on that from Kirby. Was it the players or the fans' fault, the draw?
Wasn't the fans' fault. Not at all.
What's that a reference to?
No, the fans came on the pitch, didn't they?
Oh,
of
course.
It took them a while to come off. Right. And all, but no, it's not the fans' fault. No, the players have got to take responsibility.
Okay, Brendan in West Derby. It's something we were talking about off-air just before, John. I know it's early, but does Firmino need Coutinho?
Well, on yesterday's evidence and Manchester City, it certainly looked like he was a pale shadow of what we seen at City yesterday. He just... He was poor. He was really one to forget from him. But he's going to have to learn to play with whoever he's put up alongside. You know, it might be just coincidental. Certainly, he showed some good signs the last couple of games, but no, it wasn't great to see from him, no.
OK, Danny and Wallasey, should the League Cup take priority for Everton? Maybe that's in reference to team choices, but as you were saying before, chance to play a strong team and give them some rest afterwards, isn't it?
Exactly. John said it, they've got a week rest, so play your strongest team. You play your strongest team to go and win the game, and I think the more games you win, the more your confidence builds. So for me, the strongest team available tomorrow night should be the one that's playing.
And Frankie in Southport, should Henderson start? I think you answered that on Wednesday. Give Milner a rest, Aldo. Yeah. Just looking at the league table at the moment, 6 points off top Liverpool. Everton in a pretty terrific position. Yeah. The top teams, the so-called top teams, aren't doing much with the results, are they? Have our clubs here on Merseyside got a great opportunity to try and storm the party of the top four?
It'll be tough. You know, I do think Leicester will slip. You know, I think Chelsea will be a little bit resurgent. But there's an opportunity there, you know, because there's much of a muchness in it this season. Whether City have got the best team, I think they can go on, you know, and do it. If they hit a run, then they might struggle. But other than that, I think, you know, this is as good as a chance of any for both of us to try and, you know, get into the top four.
Yeah, anybody can beat anybody, you know, and that'll be the case all the way through the season. I still think that fourth spot is up for grabs, and there's a lot of teams in for it. You know, people are talking about Liverpool now, can they challenge for the title? I think Everton are, what, 1 point behind Liverpool, are they, kind of thing? So far too early to say, but certainly it's the most open it's been for a while.
I think the fact Leicester, you know, anyone before the beginning of the season would imagine Leicester to be where they are now. So that shows you, you know, anything's possible. Mm.
Okay, and I had to get my Guinness Book of Records out and cross your name out, of course, at the weekend. Put Jamie Vardy's name in instead there. Yeah. Well done, I'm sure you want to wish him the
very
best.
Very good, but very quickly, 11 on the bounce, Jamie Vardy. Yeah. I think it was an Englishman from the 50s or 60s or 15.
Yeah.
And Messi was 31.
Although, Sharpie, thank you very much indeed. That's the Radio City Legends. We're back on Friday at 6:30. We'll see you then.